We're in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. And his parents, that is Jesus Christ, used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And when it came about that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. I'm going to be honest, the title I stole from a book. Back in the 1970s, there was an Englishman named Paul Scott. I don't know if you've ever heard the name Paul Scott. He wrote a series of fictional books, and they were called The Raj Quartet, which were filmed in 1984, and is actually a classic television miniseries produced, of course, in England, called The Jewel in the Crown. I've watched it numerous times. It's one of my favorite series of all times. But Scott penned another book. I can't remember it was before. I believe it was after he wrote the four books of the Raj Quartet, and it was called Staying Behind. Staying Behind. It's a story of a now elderly British couple who had chosen to remain in India after independence in 1947. I don't really recommend the book because it's kind of dismal and doom and gloom, but it makes a good title for a sermon anyway, so that's why I used it this morning like that. But contrary to, as I said, the plot of the novel, the story here in Luke has a much happier ending. One spring day, 2,000 years ago, Joseph turned to Mary, and they both asked simultaneously, "Where is he?" Christ was 12 years old when he turned up missing. A pivotal year for Jewish boys that had missing children in those days as well. No more childhood at age 12. Time for bar mitzvah, but in our day we would call it communicants or confirmation classes, leaving behind elementary school, launching into middle school, and then on to high school. At about this age, youngsters began thinking about their future career goals. Well, what about you? Did you know at the age of 12 or 13 what you would do with your life? Christ did. Of course, Christ was the Son of God. After the Passover, Mary and Joseph headed home toward Nazareth. As we recall, even at Eastertide, we recall there were thousands of people in Jerusalem. Probably the population of the city swelled to over 1 million people. That's a lot of congregants coming to a city, even in those days. Christ, however, stayed behind and more appropriately applied for the so-called lost child. Years later, our Lord told a story. You remember it. It was a parable called the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan took place along this same road that Christ, along with Mary and Joseph, had traveled many times. This highway was always crowded with those pilgrims before and after Thanksgiving. For devout Jews, it was a religious obligation, not a burdensome one, but a delightful interruption of the rough and rugged routine of regular life. But all of a sudden, this joyful journey home evolved into a frantic search by Mary and Joseph. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email or whatever it is. They were concerned. And a lot of people said, well, how come they didn't know? Well, probably Joseph may have been walking with some friends. Mary may have been walking with hers and assumed that the Lord was walking with some of his friends. So it wouldn't have been that odd for them to have been separated temporarily like that. But when they decided probably maybe to get together to eat, we don't know exactly, but that's when Jesus came up missing. In their worried and fearful thoughts, distance nor time meant little to these loving people. So Mary and Joseph had to journey back to Jerusalem, a day's walk, to look for their son. Now, that was a lot about walking in sandals on a dirt road. You just think about that. Sometimes we complain about walking in the backyard, but walking a day's journey, that was a long way. But the interesting or most overlooked person in this story is Mary. You think about it. Mary, there's some jewels hidden here about Mary. But we think about this, we know for a child to be separated from their parents is a scary thing. I remember when I was a child, I remember several times in department stores or whatever it was, I was maybe an aisle or two over from my parents, and I would lose my sense of direction. And you know, you had that scare of, oh, I've been abandoned attitude, you know. It's scary to think about that. But sooner or later, you would run into your parents again. Well, here's Mary and Joseph just in a state of wringing hands. And they were just, you know, they trotted pretty quickly back to Jerusalem. They didn't linger a dawdle along the way. Numerous times in the New Testament, it has been pointed out that Mary kept those Christ moments in her heart. It is highly probable that Mary had a much better insight than she'd been given credit by Bible scholars. God knew the difficulties that Mary would face being the mother of Jesus Christ. No doubt from the conception to the crucifixion, Mary had been prepared by God for those dramatic events in the life of her son. Mary pretty much gets shelled after Christmas, especially among Protestants. When at my former church, that community was 80% Roman Catholic, so I always had a reminder of Mary throughout the year. But Mary is someone that I admire greatly in the Bible. Mary, not just the mother of our Lord, but also a person of courage and valor. You just think about what Mary had to go through. It was not an easy task. It really wasn't. Mary was blessed in so many ways, but Mary had a difficult job to do. Mary certainly did. It would be a hard thing to take over. And you know, not everybody could have done that, but God knew that Mary could handle it. Christ came to fulfill the reason for being here was that the fulfillment was for the redemption of all humankind. And the temple visit was just only the beginning of his ministry. Think about that. The temple was the beginning of Christ's ministry. You say, well, he was 12 years old. He wouldn't probably know what he was doing. Yes, I think Christ knew what he was doing. But his parents, Joseph and Mary, and I'm using Joseph as his earthly father. We know that God was his true father through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph and Mary had not yet reached that point of realizing that the Lord was getting ready to launch some ministry there. Did the light bulb for Christ just come on? Did it happen? I don't think so. On the human side, Christ went through the normal developmental stages of life, but at the same time was guided by his mother, by Joseph, and the Holy Spirit, who provided faith enlightenment upon his special mission to the world. Think about it. Did you get here all by yourself in your faith journey? No. You had parents, you had relatives, you had Sunday school teachers, you had preachers, you had neighbors, friends. You had a lot of people in your life to get where you are sitting right now in the pew. Be grateful for those people. Be grateful that they took the time out to help nurture you in your faith walk, because we don't get anywhere by ourselves. I don't care whom you are. We don't get anywhere by ourselves. Professionally, we've been helped out. All through life, somebody's there to help us out. And God provides those people in our lives to do so. Christ, at the age of 12, was knowledgeable of his calling. But when I was Christ's age, being a preacher was not in the forefront of my thoughts. I'd always admired ministers, but not as a personal choice for a profession. There was a time when ministers were ranked way up there, you know. They were ranked up there with doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. But, you know, through the years, things have happened. Perhaps for my taste at age 12 or 13, being a doctor or a lawyer would have suited me, because you know, you think, well, they make all that money. Well, you know, I've never met a real wealthy preacher unless they've been doing something they shouldn't be doing. But anyway, and it would have been lucrative if I'd have pursued. And actually, when I started in college, I did start in pre-law. You're learning a little bit about me, because guess what? I wanted to be an ambassador. I wanted to be an ambassador. And somehow, some way, I got turned around and ended up majoring in forestry. Now, don't ask me how, but I ended up, and then I ended up in the ministry later on. So God does have a sense of humor. God leads us into places that we wonder why that we're there. But, you know, everything that we do prepares us for something in the future, or prepares us to help someone else. During Christ's lifetime on earth, the rabbi then and now is a position of high honor in Judaism. It has retained more of a position of social prestige than either the Protestant minister or the Roman Catholic priest. Did Mary and Joseph envision Christ as one of the esteemed rabbis of Galilee? Perhaps a leader of the party of the Pharisees, even climbing to the top of the temple as a big shot, and I'm not talking about literally, I'm just, would he have ranked up there with the powers to be, exercising influence over the political and cultural life of the Jewish people? Well, who knows? But I'm sure those thoughts must have crossed certain people's minds. Mary and Joseph found Christ in Jerusalem, at the temple. He was listening to the religious discourses by scholars. And then the Bible said the audience was astounded by his answers. A 12-year-old with that much knowledge, something was different. And my question is, if he was so knowledgeable about Scripture, if he was so knowledgeable about God, wouldn't that give us sort of an inkling or an idea to some of these people that this fellow was a little bit more special? But evidently it didn't sink in. And again, the light bulb didn't turn on for those people until years later. But in this case where Christ remained at the temple, staying behind was the best choice. Staying behind was his only choice. And we see that even on a human level, Christ was destined for greatness, and Mary and Joseph were coming for him. Can you imagine the scenario? Here they were coming into the temple, and there was Jesus sitting there with all these scholars and scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, they must have been just, their jaw must have dropped when they saw this. And Christ felt quite at home there among these people. But Christ went his own way with a providential sense of direction while marching to the beat of his own drummer, which was God, his heavenly Father. And I like what he said to Mary and Joseph when they asked him that, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And Christ told them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? I like the King James one that used to say, wist ye know that I must be in my Father's house. For years I wondered what wist stood for, but anyway, thank goodness we have updated translations. But Christ told them, why is it unusual that I wouldn't be in the temple? And I think that was the beginning that Mary probably knew that her son was going to go to higher places, to higher things. They didn't understand it. It says here, plainly in the scripture there. But do we still hear God's voice in our hearts? Listen, Christ listened. Do we listen? Listening is something that most of us have to learn to do. Have you ever talked to somebody on the telephone or in person and you felt like that they just ignored you the entire time? That it went through one ear and out the other? Think about the people that they don't bit more listen to you than that wall does. And it's frustrating, isn't it? If you listen more, you may learn something. But listening really becomes, it's an acquired, I will say habit, but it's also a nurturing thing. Try listening more and put a clothespin on that tongue, because it's so important that we listen to what other people say. Now, Christ did respond and spoke some words, but he wasn't pretentious about it. But he also listened, because Christ knew he could learn from those wise people there at the temple. We don't know everything. We really don't. I always think of Vice President Richard Nixon in 1959 when he was in Moscow at a big Soviet, it was a fair, world fair, and Nixon was over there, and Khrushchev, who was the premier of Soviet Union at the time, he was showing Nixon some new gadgets that the Soviets had been making, and Nixon was showing them some new gadgets that the Americans have made, and Khrushchev was scratching his head and said, "Wow." And Nixon looked at him straight in the face and said, "Well, you all don't know everything." So that's the thing we have to remember. We don't know everything. If we assume a lot, then we're really biting off too much for us to chew. That is the important thing in our prayer life, that we listen to the voice of God in our hearts. That sometimes we just sit back and allow God to speak to us instead of reading God off a list of, "Oh, I want this, I want that, I want everything else like that," like he's Santa Claus. No, that's not what it's all about. It's to grow and it's to be connected to God more closely every day. Now, you may hear me say this one sermon to the next, but your faith, is it better today than it was last Sunday? Have you grown any since last Sunday? Or a year ago? Or 5 years ago? Just think about where you are in your faith journey. Don't look at the person next to you. We cannot compare ourselves to somebody else. That is a bad thing to do. Look inside of yourself and say, "Have I grown in the faith over the past year?" That does make a difference. It made a difference to Mary, and you couldn't get any better than Mary there. So we say, where is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is right where God wants him to be, with us. We don't have to go searching for him like Mary and Joseph did. Christ is with us. So staying behind isn't all that bad if we remain where God desires us to be. Think about that. If we are where God desires us to be, then everything is okay. But perhaps you're not at the top of the social ladder yet. Perhaps you're not making those millions yet. Or perhaps, you don't have a family like the Waltons. But hey, we all fall short of the glory of the Lord every day. So we can work at it. Now you say, "Uh-oh, he's into work salvation." No, I'm not. We can work with God to make us better than we were the day before. God will help us if we only call upon God every day. God is only a prayer away. So you say, "Well, I've got issues, I've got problems, I've got all this." Hey, it doesn't matter with God. God will still listen and God will be there. God's love never ends. We have to keep that in mind. God's love never ends, regardless of what you've done. Some people say, "Well, you do this or you do that, That's it, you think of that great scorekeeper in the sky, and you've done it, and then, wow, look at what I did. I guess I'll get hit by a bus this afternoon." No, God does not work that way. God works through love Now you'll say, oh, this love factor. God is love. We think of God sometimes with two horns and a tail and smoke coming out of the nostrils. And you say, well, that looks like a vision of the devil. No, a lot of us do think of God like that. God is not like that. If God was like that, God wouldn't have come in flesh, the incarnation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God for us. We certainly not have just a Savior, but we have a friend in God. Let us remember that. As we start a new year, just think a new year is coming along. See if your faith grows. I'm not saying substantially. It may grow a little bit at a time. It may grow a lot. But just remember, God will help you in all things. And there's nothing wrong with staying behind as long as God is with you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the day today. Thank you for those here, Lord, who struggle with their faith. We all struggle at some point in our life, but help us. We know you will help us out because we're not perfect. None of us are. Guide and lead us in all avenues. Look out for us, O Lord, through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.